Speedway Report is produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. NASCAR's national tours converged on Atlanta Motor Speedway. The World of Outlaws continued the year out of Florida Speed Weeks on the dirt in Texas. The Cars Tour held the Dogwood 300 doubleheader right here in North Carolina. All this and more. Welcome to Speedway Report for Monday, March the 6th, 2017, from the shores of Lake Norman in Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina. I'm Patrick Reynolds, and thank you for joining us tonight from the North Myrtle Beach ZRN Studios. Producer Jeff Gilder is giving us four tires and fuel for our run to the checkered flag at the top of the hour, because this is the fastest half hour in racing. Big hello to everyone joining us on the Racers Reunion Radio and the chat room. We are heard on SpeedwayReport.com and RacersReunion.com. There is a radio player on both sites. We are also streaming on Facebook Live and the Racers Reunion site. Head on over to the Facebook page, Speedway Report with Patrick Reynolds, or to RacersReunion.com, and you can watch the TV broadcast. If you are on the Facebook page, it's called Speedway Report with Patrick Reynolds. We'd appreciate it if you would kindly give us a like, because we love to bench race with you guys 7 days a week, not just on Monday nights. And our broadcasts are archived on SpeedwayReport.com. Just head to the top ribbon and hit the TV button. You can watch them from today, last week, last month, what have you. They're all there, so welcome. They are on demand. And just to round out the whole social media world, you can tweet me directly at Speedway Pat. So everyone earlier in the chat room during Stars Radio on the Racers Reunion new website, we got a new look, new format. As soon as you get your legs underneath you, this will be very slick, very fast, and a great way to bench race. Hello to our good friend Leo down in South America. I saw his tweet earlier. Good to have him on board and our South American fans. Good to see all of you here tonight, as well as our folks on Racers Reunion right here in the good old U.S. of A. We'll pull up the Speedway Report victory lane lap and tell you who won what over this busy weekend. Now, it seems like everybody that had a stock car or a sprint car was down in Florida at Speed Weeks last week, kicking off their tour. Not everybody continued that. Continue that busy schedule. A lot of them towed home, were back in the shop, and are preparing for another springtime launch of their series here soon, or their local tracks. But not everybody. Some of them bounced out of Daytona, boom, right back this past weekend, and hit the asphalt and dirt hard. Let's start in Atlanta, Georgia, where yesterday's Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series race was won by Brad Keselowski. And oh yes, there's much more to the story than just that. The Xfinity race on Saturday was taken by Kyle Busch, and oh yes, there's much more to that race finish than just that. The truck race was won by Christopher Bell. Yeah, that kind of was the story. He had the dominant truck and took him to the woodshed, so we can leave that at that, but there's much more to talk about in the world of NASCAR. The World of Outlaws sprints left and head west to Texas. On Friday night, they raced in Kilgore, where Donnie Schatz was the A-main winner. They tried to get the show in on Saturday in Willis. That has been rained out and postponed to Thursday, April 13th. Yes, we will have the results of that race right here. Now, the Cars Tour staged the Dogwood 300 in Kenley, North Carolina, which was a twin bill for super late models and late model stock cars, a pair of 150-lap features. The super late model race was won by Matt Cragg, and the late model stock car race was won by Lee Pulliam. Lee, who has been a guest on our show right here before, a great late model stock racer here in the Southeast Mid-Atlantic states. Always good to talk to him. Congratulations for the checkered flag. Now, let's get back to Atlanta and delve a little deeper, drill down into the stories that came out of the Atlanta Motor Speedway. We'll start with Kyle Busch and the Xfinity Series win, or as we now call it, an encumbered win. What is this, you say? Well, this was a new vocabulary word we all were taught last season by NASCAR about cars that don't pass technical inspection. Now, the story with Kyle's car out of the Joe Gibbs Racing stable was it was too low on both the left and right front corners. Basically, the whole front end was a little bit too low. We talking how much here? 8th inch, 16th, 32nd? No. We're talking a full inch. When you're talking about tech inspection and body heights and templates, an inch is an eternity. That is not a little. That is a lot. Now, penalties are expected to be announced this week. Usually Tuesday is NASCAR's day to do such items. I would expect a monetary fine as well as car owner points. Kyle, as a driver, is not eligible for driver championship points in Xfinity, so that will not hurt him much or at all. The JGR team, however, does run for the ownership championship and point standings. Those guys will be hurt by whatever point penalty there is. Now, there was talk about this last season. Well, I guess every season this comes up at some point, where these guys keep these wins, don't pass tech inspection, and we ask, what's going on here? They keep the win, but they get a point and a monetary fine, which is announced during the week. This goes back a few generations where Big Bill France wanted the fans to know who won the race when they left the racetrack. The checkered flag flies, we have victory lane, that is the winner. Now, if we got to slap his hand during the week with some money and some points, that's fine. They want the winner known to the fans. When I look at this situation from my standpoint as a fan, I wonder myself, what did I just see? This guy just won this race. It is car basically deemed illegal, and you're letting him win the race. That never sat well with me. What they all do in short track racing, the car does not pass tech inspection, they often disqualify a driver, throw the car out. Everybody behind him that passes tech inspection gets moved up a slot. The next car that passes tech inspection after the race, he gets the win or the second or the third or what have you. But those are legal cars. They pass tech. They are good to go. I would like to see that in the National Touring Series. I don't have a problem with an on-site disqualification. There has been discussion of this. We're making an announcement, I believe, Tuesday of this week from the Saturday Xfinity race. There are some rumblings or some rumors coming out of NASCAR that this could change in the future, that you will have an on-site announcement the day of the race. I don't know if that's just a money penalty or the points will be announced at that same time or they're actually going to disqualify a car. I don't have anything against Kyle Busch or JGR in this situation, but yeah, I would like to see the DQ. That's how we do it in short track racing. I think that's how it should be done in big track racing, is we got to disqualify these guys. That gets their attention. Money, the team's got a lot of money. The win stands, the point championship. Kyle isn't eligible for an Xfinity Drivers Championship. I think you're giving him a slap on the wrist when something like this happens and he gets another win on his resume. Cars need to pass tech, otherwise disqualify them. Now, in a related topic, conversely, A.J. Allmendinger had three loose lug nuts after the Atlanta race. 17 were tight, 3 were loose. And his crew chief, Randall Burnett, is now facing possibility of a 3-race suspension and a $65,000 fine. Remember, this topic of lug nuts came up hot and heavy the last year and the year before when NASCAR quit policing this aspect of tight lug nuts. The teams were hitting 3 lug nuts, 4 lug nuts on pit stops and sending guys on their way. You were slowly but surely creating an extremely dangerous situation. Now, we have these two episodes here at Atlanta. Dinger with 3 lug nuts out of 20. Kyle Busch won the race, but is too low, doesn't pass tech. Yeah, it seems like we're really busting hard on Allmendinger, and I'm just reading the rule book on all of this. I don't know exactly the numbers for Kyle Busch's car, but it seems like the question is raised on this: does the punishment fit the crime? What are we doing with Dinger, losing his crew chief for three races and $65,000, but we're letting Bush win the race with a too low on the front end? It just seems like NASCAR has their wires crossed, and that should not be that way. Does NASCAR have this right? It just seems wrong to me that we're not addressing punishments properly. That for what you do isn't what you're getting. I'm missing that. Maybe I am missing something. Maybe I'm wrong. That's what Twitter and Facebook are for. Let me know. I don't think NASCAR has this right. Let's talk a little more on NASCAR penalties and the name that comes up. Oh, yeah. The star of the show on Sunday, Kevin Harvick. He had the car to beat. Had the car to lose. That was his race. He had the race in the palm of his hand all day. Pole win. I think he led 293 out of 325 laps, so if I have my numbers in my head correctly, and gets caught for speeding on pit road on the last pit stop. He goes from first to the tail end of the pack, charges through the past several laps, incredibly fast car, got up to ninth place, good for him, but that easily was a win that got away. Now, I know what we're all thinking. How many times has Kevin Harvick thrown his pit crew under the bus for bad pit stops on pit road? Yesterday, his crew was on spot money. They lost the lead once all day, and I believe they pitted nine times. So they were first in, first out on eight of those. And here we are. What cost them the race? Kevin Harvick, his mistake on pit road. Crew members are under a lot of pressure. They are expected to perform every single time. But lug nuts can get hung up, jacks can get stuck, things can go wrong, but Kevin Harvick has helped them, he's encouraged them, he's thrown them under the bus. You name it, it's happened with Harvick and his pit crew. Now, those guys have changed over the years because this goes way back when he was at Childress Racing, when he owned his own team, KHI. He seems to have a pit crew story following him no matter where he is. The crew members in the past, you got to wonder if they're chuckling. The ones that got busted on TV, the times that when the camera came to them, they lost the race. Kevin backed the bus over them. I wonder what they were saying or thinking as Harvick screwed up on pit road and he was the cause of the team's race yesterday. Not the crew guys, not the guys in the shop. Car was bad fast. Clearly, the class of the field. And, his crew guys just do not get on camera and throw their driver under the bus on television. Drivers, yes, they get on camera and they will throw the crew member under the bus. Kevin did take responsibility, didn't blame anybody else, but you got to wonder, were they kind of grinning a little bit or laughing, I wonder, at Harvick because he screwed up and he lost the race yesterday? I'm a big believer in we win and lose as a team. But there have been so many times over the years where the cameras came to Harvick or we got the radio chatter. Yeah, he blasted those guys. So here we are, Harvick. The car to beat, the driver to beat. Yeah, man, didn't work out for you yesterday. Just wondering what your crew guys thought in years past. Maybe some of them had a happy day as well. Speeding penalties, a lot of these going through the NASCAR cop rulebook here yesterday. Why was that? Why was that? Well, I'll tell you why. There has been a distance on Atlantis pit road, which has been pretty much a standard for years. And each timing line was a standard. Year after year, drivers, crew chiefs knew what to expect. The RPM range, the gear range, what have you, for pit road speed. Last year's race, I think we had one speeding penalty. We were pushing 10 speeding penalties yesterday. What happened? NASCAR remeasured pit road, and the standard foot length that they had for the entire length of pit road was actually changed. It was altered. They updated that with a new measurement that actually changed the timing lines and their distance. Now, you would think that a few feet either way, maybe that wouldn't make a difference. But if you think about it in mathematical terms, if you have, say, a 100-foot section and you change that by 10 feet, you're at 10% of a change. That's a big difference when you're talking miles per hour down pit road. 10% either way, that'll get you busted. And there was a lot of difference in where those timing lines were because of the remeasurement of pit road. Now, this wasn't new to these teams. They knew this going in. NASCAR made them aware of that. However, if all these teams and crew chiefs were referencing their notes from years past, they knew the timing markers, drivers as well, the gear that they had to be in, the RPM range, and the experience of running Atlanta for the past, whatever, 10, 20 years. Now that was changed. So, yeah, you had experienced drivers getting in a little trouble with speeding penalties. Let's talk about stages. We talked about it with Kaz Grala in the last half hour on Stars Radio. What's the deal with it? He likes them. Some guys are liking them. Here's a practical aspect of it. We've talked about it on this show before. They do provide opportunities for built-in commercial breaks in the race, like a quarter of a ball game or a halftime. The TV networks do purposely put television commercials in those places so you miss less green flag racing. They are designed to hopefully spice up the midpoints of the race, which so many fans have complained about over the years. I'm still not sold on these things. I am a fan of racing fundamentals. I'm not a fan of segments. I'm not a fan of chases, playoffs, countdown to ones, any type of that. Anything that makes auto racing like a stick-in-ball sport does not resonate with me. Not a fan of that. I don't have a problem with a race length. I remember 500 miles at Dover. Yes, it was a long race. I was fine with it. We paid so much money for tickets as a kid. I felt like I was getting my money's worth, for crying out loud. I'm cool with that. I don't have a problem with 400 and 500 mile races, 3, 4, 5 hours in length. I'm good with that. I'm a racer. I'll spend all day at a racetrack. I'm fine for that. These guys riding around, well, they really do not ride around. The cars are just so equal to one another, they cannot pass. But everybody is running pretty darn hard the entire race. It's just the nature of the beast. They can't get around one another. So today and last night, I took a little poll on social media, informal, unscientific, saying, what do you think of the segments? We're two races in. Granted, you know, we don't have a whole lot of experience with them, but we've had the Daytona 500 and the three races at Daytona. We've had three races at Atlanta. What do you think? Here's some comments. Generally speaking, fans who've been around for a while, not a fan. New fans to the sport, kind of dig them. Lance Renshaw, it's awful. If this was tried at a local track, the owner or promoter would be run off the property. Ronald White, reminds me of why I stopped being a NASCAR fan. Stacy Lynn Coburn, as a new race fan, I find it more interesting to watch, as do many of my friends. Like with anything, change is hard, but sometimes necessary to shake things up. Lisa Gendron-Biaski, we don't like it at all, just let them run. Too many changes and rolls. Miss the old days. Wayne Gregory, it hasn't changed racing at all. The only thing I think will change it is get rid of France and mile and a half tracks. Izzy Gratterall, don't like it at all. I want the 80s and 90s NASCAR back. Stacy St. John, two races in, and I am all ready for my IndyCar season, LOL. And Jay Tate actually took some time to elaborate a little bit. I'm enjoying it. I like it from a marketing point of view. TV and sponsors have a better idea of when the advertisements will show. I also enjoy it bunching the field up during different periods of the race. I'll enjoy it more through the year as crew chiefs get more creative during it to try to get advantages after they figure it out more. This could come into play more so on the road courses or a track like Pocono, where it takes a long time to get around. A lot of these mile and a half, so you're roughly in the 30-second lap time. The pits close two laps before the end of a segment. Everybody's still under the same umbrella or hasn't come up with a strategy yet. I anticipate Sonoma, Watkins Glen, and the two Pocono races to bring out some creativity in these guys. I don't foresee Phoenix. I don't foresee Martinsville producing a crazy strategy at the end of a segment or as a segment starts. At the road courses and Pocono, I would expect some crazy stuff to be tried. Crazy by meaning various different strategies on how to get to most points out of a segment. I'm not a fan. I just am not. Too many gimmicks in NASCAR nowadays. You need a scorecard and a booklet to keep track of what's going on with playoff points, segment points, you know, do these carry over. I just don't care. I just don't care. I like a green flag, a white flag, and a checkered flag, and whatever happens in between, let it just roll. I'm fine with that. Segments not sold on it, and I am also excited for the IndyCar season opener in St. Petersburg this coming week. They'll run it like that, a green flag, a white flag, and a checkered flag. If they need yellows in between, it'll be on. But if not, they are just going to race. And can someone tell me why Austin Dillon stayed on the track when his engine died? That last caution really literally changed the entire race. We heard the radio feed from them. The car went dead. I know they were diagnosing it. Slugger Labby was telling him, running through some cycles and some diagnosis to get the thing fired up. But it was dead. Why not do that on pit road where he could bring it to the attention of the pit crew? They could do that right in the pit box, circulating under the car or on the track under green and saying, okay, bring it back to the garage when you get back here. He wasn't getting it back there. You could see that. That kind of puzzled me that he was told to stay on pit road and not come to pit road and work on it there. They could have done everything. They could diagnose it on pit road, but I found that extremely odd that didn't happen. It didn't go down the way it is, that he didn't pull into pit road. And that last caution came out. Yeah, that changed everything because Harvick was going to win that sucker. And Brad Keselowski winds up going to victory lane. The Atlanta Motor Speedway is planning to be repaved. However, hold that thought. Marcus Smith may be rethinking that and maybe not happening. The drivers are pretty much saying do not repave it. Most fans do. The tires wear out quickly there. It's like a cheese grater, extremely abrasive surface. That is good for racing. However, if it rains there, you may be facing a lot of weepers and taking a lot of hours to get the track dry. What to do? I'm interested in keeping a track of this, too. Maybe they can fix that track without repaving it. That would be the best thing for me. I would love to see that. Gratuitous promotion time. Speedway Report, stickers and magnets. Got a magnet here for the fridge. Yeah, you want one of those? Some stickers, too, for the car, for the family truckster, Speedway Report? Sure you do. As we talked about social media, just message me your address. How much are these? Absolutely free. They're on us as well as the postage. Just let me know where we'll send them, and we'll send some Speedway Report stickers and magnets to you. We'd love to have them on the fridge out in the garage and the family truckster going down the highway. Everyone in between our broadcasts, keep up on the world of auto racing with our site, SpeedwayReport.com. Our Speedway Report TV replays are now posted on the site. On the top ribbon, please click on the TV button, and you can catch tonight's show and archived programs. We have columns posted from Vicky Miller, Steve Zonger, Paul Bluffus, and myself. Neat column by Starworks crew member Steve. He wrote it for us last week about what it's like to engineer a 24-hour go-kart race. Cody Dinsmore was in this race as well. Check it out. This was pretty cool. Go to SpeedwayReport.com. Big thanks to Jeff Gilder, ZRN and Racers Reunion for your outstanding production work tonight. You can hear more from Jeff and the Racers Reunion family Tuesday at 7 Eastern Time on Racing Through History, and Free Pennington with Making an Impact kicks off tomorrow at 6:30 Eastern Time. Big thanks to everyone on the Racers Reunion chat rooms for tuning in. It is great to be part of the family. Thank you for keeping us informed on Jimmy Johnson, not the driver, but our Racers Reunion member, on his health situation. Prayers will be going out to him as he heads to surgery tomorrow. And prayers to Jerry Smith of Stars Radio, who had surgery today. Hope both those gentlemen have their health back to them very, very quickly. I want to thank all of the military, past and present, for the freedoms we enjoy as Americans in our daily life, including the simple things like bench racing right here on a Monday night. Freedom is not free, and a veteran paid that bill for us. To all of the men and women who are defending freedom and watching Speedway Report, take care of yourselves and come home soon. And a special salute to the teachers, school staff, firefighters, police officers, and paramedics in our own communities. They are quiet and modest heroes every single day. God bless. And thank you. You have been watching Speedway Report from the shores of Lake Norman in Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina. produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. Now, don't go anywhere, because BP, JB, and BS are coming right up at the top of the hour while they're racing and rocking with draglist.com. A reminder to like our Facebook page, Speedway Report, with Patrick Reynolds, and please follow me on Twitter at SpeedwayPat. For Jeff Gilder, I am Patrick Reynolds. We will be back in 1 week with news from NASCAR and World of Outlaws from Las Vegas, the IndyCar season opener in St. Petersburg, short track racing, and motorsports hot topics. Thank you for joining us on Facebook Live, Racers Reunion Radio, and SpeedwayReport.com. Good night.